be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I get started, I also neglected to tell you that Connie Foote sends her love and greetings. We, on the way down, spent a night near her, and we were able to spend an evening with her. She cooked us dinner, so she still knows how to cook. But she's doing well. She's very involved in her church, and my heart rejoices when I go down there, because this is our second time going and seeing her. And I see the presence of others that have gone to see her. And that really means the world to her. And to see the cards, every card that you send, it's on her big hutch thing in her house. So she's in a smaller home, but just as many decorations. So I'll leave that up for you to figure out. But also, greetings and grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father. Our sermon text for today, the fifth Sunday of Easter, is going to be taken from the Gospel of John. Very familiar part of Scripture, but very interesting. I've never really looked at it this way before. We're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 31 through 35. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of Gospel text. Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31, reading in Jesus' name. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, the glory, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. In our human intellect, we can't figure it out. We think we do, but then we turn it oftentimes to our thoughts. So we pray, Father, by the power of your Spirit, that you would empty us of our thoughts, that you would allow your word to speak, and men in flesh would be silent. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So this is after the Easter season, right? But now we're kind of going back and reflecting a little bit. But this is also good instruction for each and every one of us, to come to the understanding and knowing we can hear me, right? Okay, because I'm having a hard time hearing myself. But anyways, to understand and know, really, what God desires from each and every one of us. And this text is kind of an interesting thing, because it picks up after Jesus goes through this great understanding of washing the disciples' feet. An act of service, where he actually says, "I'm giving you an example." Service is not oftentimes something that we truly desire to do. Jesse likes to serve himself. When I go to an all-I-can-eat buffet, I serve a lot. But the fact of it is, this is a call of ministry. This is a sign of ministry for each and every one of us. That we would actually enter out into this world and to serve people around us, but ultimately, in the body of Christ, that we would serve one another. That there should be great advantage to this. So Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and Peter, as we've talked about before, he doesn't fully understand this. He's a little bit confused by it. He's like, "You're not going to wash my feet, are you? You'll never wash my feet." Because to Peter, that was degrading. And I kind of understand this a little bit. I used to serve in a small congregation out in Alston. And I had a smaller congregation, I'd say, on a good Sunday. There was 35 people there. And very thankful for all 35, no doubt about it. But it's a small little community. But I remember when I first got there, I didn't know how to take it because I had one elder lady who's gone to glory, a wonderful person, but she saw me go in the basement and change the calendar from, say, May to June. And she walked up to me and she says, "Pastor, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm changing the calendar? You mustn't do that. That is not for you to do. You are a pastor. You have more important things to do. You can leave that to us." And I kind of chuckled that day. She meant well. She was giving a lot of respect to the position. But trust me, I scrub toilets and all stuff. To me, whatever we are doing, we do as unto the Lord. And I feel very strongly as a believer that whatever we are doing, we are serving God. There's times I absolutely love my job. And there's times I can't stand it. You ever had a day like that? Yeah, we all do. But it doesn't mean we stop doing it. There's some aspects of all of our positions in life that are enjoyable and fun, and there's some that are just necessary and a little mundane. But either way, we do all things as unto the Lord. We serve. And so Peter was like, you can't do this. And Jesus was very kind about it. He says, you don't understand what I'm doing. You don't understand the importance of this. See, I think it's important. I was explaining to the confirmants, we hopefully have four confirmants coming out to camp this year, maybe five, that'll be coming out to camp for Zion. And I explained to them, one of the key things that I would love for you to understand when you come to camp is pastors are normal people. We are. We laugh, we cry, we joke, we're serious, we get along, we have disagreements, but I would love for them to understand we're approachable. We're approachable. And so it's important for them to get that relationship. I remember years ago, one of my good friends from Alston who served, he was in that church all his life. His name is Ed Holton, and I won't tell you his name otherwise. But the point is, he said, Jesse, I wish when I was younger, I knew how awesome Earl Carlo was. He was my pastor for 22 years, and I didn't know he was just normal. You could talk to him. And that's what Earl would want. And that's what I would desire. That's what Scott Sepple would desire. I'm sure Caleb Mono desires the same thing. Travis Fredrickson up in Loring, the wonderful man. I've gotten to know him a little bit. He's taking over for Jay. Come and see. We're normal. But we have a high regard for the Word of God. I hope that's where we all are. So Peter didn't fully understand what Jesus was doing. But then Jesus finally puts it to him very plainly. He says, if I don't do this, then you have no part in it. And so then he turns around. Norma, are those on? Did you guys turn on the ear things?
They're on, but there's no output.
Okay. But anyways, so you turn around and you see that Peter, really, he's struggling with this, but Jesus is saying, I need to do this for you. Because Peter, you can't do it. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't do that work. But Jesus is willing to take it on. He's willing to do it for all of us. And that's a great example of him washing the feet, putting on the servant's garb, taking on, if you could say, the filth of us for us. So Peter, seeing this is a good religious thing, well then, not just my feet, but do everything. Because that's what we do. You know, Jesse likes cheesecake, so the whole cake's got to be good. Actually, by the end, he gets nauseated. Jesus tells Peter very straightforward, what I am doing is enough. And I think that's something for all of us to hear. The work that Christ Jesus does is enough. For all of us. It is effectual for all of us. And so he goes through this process. And it's kind of interesting because Judas was even in the room. He went through this process. Jesus did not pick and choose who to do this for. But then we're given the conversation after the washing of the feet that there's one that will betray. And he labels it very straightforward. And then he looks to Judas and he says, what you have to do, go and do it. Don't wait. Everybody else in the room is a little confused. They're like, well, maybe he's going to buy something. Maybe he's going to do something. But he was going to betray Jesus, to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. And so then it says, so after receiving this morsel of bread, verse 30, he immediately went out. Was night. This is an indicator where things turn very somber. You know, it's like thieves in the night, things in the night, we do things. I remember as an old guy that I used to work with in Vanguard years and years ago, he told me, nothing good ever happens after midnight. I was a teenager and I thought everything good happened after midnight. fact of it is, he wasn't wrong. And so that's kind of the scene that we're given. And then when he went out, when Judas left, when he left the room, now Jesus really comes down to the point of saying, now is the Son of Man glorified. We don't really consider it this way. To see his suffering, his death, the payment for our sin debt to be his glory. But it is a full revealing of what Christ Jesus is doing for each and every one of us. And I want you to hear these words. Christ Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for Haiti that we don't even understand around the corner. Because he loved the world. And so, he now starts to address it. He says, now the Son of Man is glorified. This is the revealing of exactly why he came. And it's interesting because so many times in the Gospel of John, at least three if not four, there are places where he says, it's not time. It's not time. It's not time. And now we're given this indication, it is time. It is the moment. And whether we understand it or not, there will be moments in our life like that where it's not time for us to meet Jesus yet, personally. You know, it's not time for things to work out in this way. But there will be a day, and I want to say a day of calling, when we will all meet him face to face. We know it. We just prayed for a family that lost a 40-year-old mother. 2 weeks ago, we prayed for a family that lost a 30-something-year-old nephew of mine. There is a time, and this time of meeting doesn't respect age. We oftentimes think that as young guys. I got plenty of time. I can figure this all out later. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And Jesus is saying now, it is time. He is going to the cross. He's going to pay for our debt. He's going to take it all upon his shoulders. Because he loves us. He says, and God is glorified through me. In other words, what he's saying is, what I'm doing is exactly what God the Father wants. This is service. Not just in the washing of the feet. Not just in all the healings and the wonderful miracles that we've seen for 3 years before this. He really is in service to God the Father to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. For each and every one of us. And so he says now very plainly, God is glorified in him. And he's saying very straightforward, and if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. God is working through this whole process. God is revealing his plan. God knew that we couldn't do it. So he took it upon himself. Do you hear those words? God's not surprised by my frailty. God's not surprised by my lack of faith at times. God's not surprised in my struggle with different things. He knew who I was as a fallen human being. And therefore, he came. And he came to give me life. And I'm saying this in a personal sense so you can understand this for yourself. He knew where we were. In the depths of sin, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't wait for us to become good human beings. He created good human beings. And it's through Jesus Christ. We need to hear those words because so many times Jesse gets into his mind and says, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. No. Stop. Father, help me. Give me your spirit to teach me to be a better husband. Give me your word to teach me to be a better father. Give me your word and the encouragement of your spirit to be a better pastor, a better board member, a better parishioner, a better Bible study leader. Lord, help me to be a better Christian. The scripture says very plainly, we should pray for the Holy Spirit, that he will give us an extra unction if we but ask. And it struck me this week, how often do I pray for that? I'm not looking at you, I mean I am, but not critically. How often did Jesse pray for that?
I found myself driving down the road the other day. Lord, help me be encouraged by your Spirit. Give me an extra unction in your Spirit that I can believe. And the next thing you know, my Lord's like, Jesse, you need help. Hire it? Pass. Two checks, money came, done. Now talk about prosperity gospel. If you have a need, and you ask God the Father, He will provide for the need. Do we ask? So he goes very straightforward and he says, you know, God is doing all of this work, and He, in reality, will continue to glorify Himself, reveal Himself to us in and through these actions. And then he gets to something very interesting. He says, little children, this is a term of endearment. This is not belittling. Oftentimes in our faith, we are like childlike faith, which is awesome, because we should be. When we overthink it, we kill it. He says, little children, he says, a little while, I'm with you right now. There's going to be a time where I won't be. You're going to wonder where I am. You're going to try to seek to go where I'm going, but you can't. You can't pay this penalty. You can't do this work. This is not something you can do. I need to hear these words today. Jesse, you can't pay for your sin debt. It's by grace through faith. You can't make up for this problem that you have. You can't make up for what you've done in the past. You can't change the past. You're not going to truly, on your own, influence the future. It takes the hand of God. It takes the hand of God. And so he says very plainly, you're going to be looking. He said, but you're going to seek for me. He said, no, I told the leaders of the Jews, you can't come with me. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. Where's he going? Is he leaving? Is he disappearing? Is he going to die? What's going on? He says, where I'm going, you can't come. Because we couldn't handle where he went. Really, if you could say it this way, to the prison to pray for the debt of all of us. We couldn't handle it. But God knew that, and He went. He paid. He gave. It's not your time yet. Oh, it will be. Later, the apostles will all suffer for Jesus' name's sake. They will all die a martyr's death or in isolation. There's no doubt about it. But at the securing of eternity, this is God's work. It's God's work. And he goes on to say something very interesting. And it's kind of interesting in this way because we can find this in the Old Testament. It's not like a new thought. But he says, I have a new commandment. A new commandment. You know, how many times have I told you there's times that I wish, you know, we say, oh, I wish I could just hear from God. I wish God would just tell me what to do. Pretty interesting. We just opened our Bibles. It tells us often place. Earlier in the washing of the feet, Jesus says something. Exclusively, he says, I have given you an example. I've given you an example. So there's one thing he's told us to do. Serve one another. Take care of one another. Help one another. But in this situation, he says, I have a new commandment. This is not a suggestion. This isn't, hey, put it in the suggestion box. Good idea. You know, we should have potluck maybe every fifth Sunday. It's not that. It's a commandment. This is what he wants. This is what he tells us to do. He says, a new commandment I give to you. That you love one another. This is Christian fellowship. But I want you to think about this for a moment. His commandment is not that you love me, that you love God, that you be ultra-religious so everybody can see how awesome cool you are. He says, a new commandment is that you would love one another. That's Christianity. Why did Christ Jesus go to the cross? For God so what? Loved the world. He gave himself away. He's not giving us an instruction to become more religious.
Or to be, if you could say it this way, a dedicated, you know, God follower that just separates himself from the rest of the world. I'm giving you a new command that you love. This is not just in the good times. This is when Jesse's being a pain in the butt, by the way. Love me. Or when you're having times of struggle and doubt, love you. When your husband doesn't quite get it, love him. When your wife can't hear what you're saying, love them. When we make a mistake, love them. It's in the good and in the bad. That's exactly what Luther talks about when he talks about the communion rite. He says, do we not understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, that communion means community, and that a community has action in the good times and the bad times, that we come together. Communion never stops. That we would be there one for another in the good times and the bad times, in marital problems and not marital problems, in financial battles, not financial battles, spiritual battles, not spiritual battles. We are there for one another. Why? Because we love each other. We're here for the betterment of the whole lot. Do you only love your child when they do exactly what you want? I'd like to. It doesn't work that way. Love is real. Thanks be to God. Because he loves me in spite of myself. And he calls me to love you, or you to love me in spite of ourselves. This text is very powerful because it's not about our, say, commitment and dedication to God. It is shown to God in through our love one to another. It's the body. This is so important. Because you know darn well, if churches don't get along, nobody wants to be there. And I'm very thankful because we have a very good congregation that I feel overall gets along very well. And I was just asked this week, how can we get more young people to actually come together in church? So we lost everybody. Someone's not married anymore. Who's married? Black married. But I was asked this week, how can we get more young couples to come to this church? How? Invite them. Brag about your congregation. Not falsely. If you love each other and if you encourage with each other, talk about it. Share it. Invite them to the church. You know, it's like a long time ago, years ago, I was talking to my sister Gail, and we were talking about Vespers and things like this, and it was kind of falling apart because it had run its course for many years. And she made a very powerful statement. She said, we can't force this, but if young kids get together, or young couples get together, and do something together, it will draw them in. I can't make this church grow. That's not my job. But we prayerfully to make it a place where people want to. Maybe our music's not the most powerful and beautiful. I'm not complaining about my wife. I gotta live with her. She does a great job. But we are open to having someone that knows how to play a guitar, whatever. We're open to that stuff. But we can't force it. And so Jesus really is trying to bring out the thing of how are you taking care of each other? How are you loving one another? He says, so now he says, this commandment, this instruction that I'm giving you is that you love one another, but how? He says, just as I have loved you. Unconditionally. I know you love me unconditionally. Because I've given you reasons not to. And yet you still have them. I'm thankful to God for that. How can we do it for one another? We're not all going to think exactly like, but we can all grow together. So he says, love one another as I have loved you. He says, and he repeats it. This is how you are to love one another. It's like I've shared with you many times, and it might be old to you, but they talk about Mother Teresa. How could you go in the mission fields? How could you serve all these people, you know, being elderly yourself and maybe getting exposed to this leper colony? She said, how can I not? When I look out there, I see Jesus. Let's not be suspicious. When we look out into our congregation, into our fellowship, into this world, let's look for Jesus. Because that's where we can all agree. We are the children of God, saved by grace through faith. And so he says very plainly, this is how you are to love one. He's not giving instruction how to be a better God-fearer. He's saying, this in reality is what we are to do. And he goes, by this, you'll be identified. You'll be identified because people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy cymbal, a noisy gong. Remember the gong show with Carol Burnett? If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, if I have all the faith, so to remove these mountains, but I have not love, I have nothing. I have nothing. He says, if I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I don't gain a thing. It's empty. Love is patient. Are we patient? Love is kind. Jesse can learn a lot about kindness. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not arrogant, is not rude, does not insist on its own way, my way or the highway. It is not irritable. It is not resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It actually rejoices in truth. What is truth? We could ask that question still today. He says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures in all things. Love never ends. Prophecies will end, they will pass away, tongues will cease. For the knowledge, it'll all pass away. But the reality of it is, love is forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we could ask one thing today, it would that we be patient one with another and love one another. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts and our prayer. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, for the gift of life that is solely in Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask that you give us the ability, give us the strength, give us the insight and the wisdom of your scripture to look to you alone. Give us love, Father, that we can mimic that love one to another. Give us your love, Father, that we can enter into this world and love the unlovable. For while we were yet in the depths of sin, Christ Jesus came to us. May we also understand that for one another. We thank you for all things. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift his countenance upon us.